Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny live on The Fan on the 6th of May in 2025. We are getting ready for playoff hockey. We are at City Tap House Penn Quarter. We're just a couple of blocks away from Capital One Arena. So if you're going to the game tonight, you're coming down to the neighborhood, this is the pregame spot. We're live until 6:30. Come have your drinks, your food before you go over to the game with us at City Tap House. And Danny, here's the most amazing thing about the show today.
What's that?
Your boys are in the mood to give some things out. We're going to be giving away Caps tickets to game two on Thursday night. Every single hour of the show, we've got a pair to give away at the end of the hour, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock hours. When we say goodbye for the final time at the end of our last segment, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to game four on Thursday night. So make sure you're listening for that. We've also got DC Defenders tickets we're giving away ahead of the Blitz at 4 o'clock today. It's going to be a bang-up show.
It is a cool day. I love stuff like this. So just a quick tip of the cap, if I may, to the Washington Nationals. So they got rained out last night. It's an old-school, regular thing that every fan loves, the doubleheader. Not that split doubleheader where they're sweeping up the ballpark in between, everyone's got to leave, and then we can pretend and go through this weird exercise. You get in, you're in. It's an old-school doubleheader just like Ma and Pa did. I love that for today.
I'm shocked that they're doing that.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen much in baseball, and it certainly isn't a thing for the Nats at home very often. I don't know if part of that has to do with the Capitals being in the playoffs and everything going on in town. I don't really know what led to that decision, because they also could have just had the staggered 1-7 and gotten two gates, kicked everyone out of the ballpark. But to your point, I think the right thing is happening. So they're playing this afternoon. Your boy was supposed to do postgame last night.
You're not going
to
do it today, though.
I went over to Nationals Park. I was sitting in the ballpark for about an hour waiting for the game. And while we're just shelling out good jobs and attaboys to the Nationals.
Sure, yeah.
They didn't do the thing they normally do, where they wait 4 hours and then at like 10:07 they call the game. Instead, about an hour after what was scheduled to have been first pitch, they just let everybody know, this is not happening
tonight.
They
shut it down.
Everybody gets to go home.
Yes.
We don't have to sit around. You don't have to go to your house, but you can't stay here.
You can't stay here anymore.
So I hit the road with thousands of my favorite people, and we were back home at a reasonable hour. But Heisty will be doing postgame, filling in for your boy today. I know you've got postgame tonight.
I got the second game, yes.
After game two. But right here on The Fan, you'll be hearing Caps hockey, not Nationals baseball. John Walton, who calls the Caps on The Fan, has the call tonight in 5 hours when puck drops about 7 minutes after seven. He'll be with us on site. He's going to stop by in 55 minutes right at 3 o'clock. We'll talk to Walton about getting ready to call the second round of the postseason on the Caps radio network for the first time since the 2018 Stanley Cup run. It has been that long since Washington advanced to the second round. Real quick, before we get into some of the specifics on the show, and Walton at three, our buddy Steve Zabin, Green Bay, Wisconsin, does radio, was just at the NFL draft where they hosted. Want to see what we're getting ourselves into here as radio hosts in the host market of the NFL draft in 2027. We'll ask him about that. And then Bruce Boudreau, former Caps coach, is on the show today with us at 5 o'clock. City Tap House here, Grant and Danny. I said something last night that I thought was just a reasonable thing. I got some blowback on.
Oh, no. What'd you do?
I was at Nats Park waiting for a baseball game that wasn't going to be played.
Okay.
The tarp was on the field.
Mm-hmm.
It was raining and gross.
Yep.
People were being told to evacuate the ballpark and basically go take cover, like it was some tornado drill at an elementary school. I just said, indoor baseball is underrated. You would have thought I kicked people's puppies. Indoor baseball is not as bad as you all make it out to be. Rain delays are evil.
Yep.
Games that don't get played after you've made plans or you've traveled possibly, you've flown somewhere, you've taken off from work, you've got the kids out of school, you've had a day plan. Most people don't go to every home game. It's a rare, fun, unique thing. I was talking to a family last night at Nats Park that made the trip up from Fredericksburg to go to the game. A couple of kids and parents. They were there getting a little tour of the facility, and they told me they had just driven up 95. They got to turn back around and go home.
Did you get nothing?
Rain delays shouldn't happen.
Yep.
We need more indoor sporting events. And is the perfect solution the retractable roof so that you can also have outside beautiful weather, you know, being a part and a factor of your experience? Of course, but it costs too much money. Owners don't want to pay it. We know you guys don't want to pay it because you don't like public money going to stadiums. You've covered that. So, ipso facto, we need more indoor facilities. Sorry.
How far you've come? We had a fierce argument years ago where you couldn't believe my stance Sox on this, which is the one you just said. We shouldn't be having – there should be no rain delays.
So I still don't go all the way, though, just to clarify. Mm-hmm. Like, you are team never build an outdoor ballpark again, essentially.
In a place where rain delays are a risk and have been a problem.
Which is pretty much everywhere but the West Coast.
Yeah. The Dodgers don't need one. You know, like they get rained out, what, sure, once every 2 years, or in Arizona, you probably don't need it. There are a few spots where you don't. Seattle should have an indoor ballpark. It rains all the time. There are places where the weather's inclement, Cleveland, Minnesota, whatever. We should not be having rain delays. You've already said it. We need to be welcoming and understanding of the fan. Yes, hardcore Harry's like, the game's played in elements, talking about whatever the sport is. You're awesome. You're tough. Do your clap push-ups and you know, work your CrossFit and take videos of yourself on that grind, bro. The rest of us who have mortgages and commutes and concerns, it's a big to-do to get the kids from home to the stadium or whatever. For a lot of people, as you already alluded to, we need to be welcoming. We need to make sure that nobody gets hassled. Because you know what's not a hassle? Putting my feet on the ottoman and channel surfing with all the different options that I have at my disposal. No, thank you.
It's not just rain and rain delays and postponements, which certainly are a big deal. But when it's really hot and you're in the sun getting baked, it's not that fun.
Ain't fun either.
When it's postseason October, March, when I'm at Nats Park for the first time and I'm wearing a hoodie and I'm freezing my butt off, that's not that great either. If you want to make the case with football that the elements are significant, there's more of a conversation to be had there. But baseball,
mm-hmm,
come on, we could get together on this.
Yeah, I mean,
let's all be dry and let's be roughly around room temperature.
I mean, people have rightly pointed out that there are only a handful of teams.
Live from City Tap House, Grant and Danny with you on the fan. John Walton joining us, voice of the Capitals at 3 today, and former head coach Bruce Boudreau at 5 o'clock. Enough about the rain delay that turned into a postponement, that turned into a doubleheader for the Nationals today. Let's look ahead to game one of the Caps and the Hurricanes tonight, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have 20,000 people wearing the same thing piling into Capital One Arena tonight for a second-round meeting between the Canes and the Caps. This is just the second time these two teams have ever played in the playoffs. If you remember back in 2019, Carolina beat Washington in double overtime of Game 7. If that doesn't sound excruciating and isn't a nice kick to the ribs, I don't know what is. But in that series, Washington was up 2-0 and 3-2, and the Canes just kept coming. The Caps in Game 1s, in case you're curious, 28-21 all time. They're 18-12 in Game 1s at home in their history. They have won 3 consecutive Game 1s at Capital One Arena going into play tonight, including that 2019 series against the Hurricanes. Washington in the second round for just the first time in 7 years. Meanwhile, the Hurricanes were in the Eastern Conference Final 2 years ago. One of the reasons, I think, why they're the favorites to win not only tonight but in this series, according to odds makers.
Yeah, who handled the rust the best? Who handled this weird scheduling quirk the best? That's going to be how this game starts, and maybe, honestly, you know, how this series starts tonight. Like, this is unusual. These two teams, Carolina had one extra day just based on, you know, luck of the draw on the schedule. They clinched a week ago today, Washington a day later, and they've been waiting around. So who handled this the best? Who stayed the sharpest? Who got healthiest? Who took advantage? Who's ready to go? Who's ready to rock and roll up front? Who did the best film study? Who's the most prepared, et cetera? I trust this Caps as a veteran group to have done those right things, but you never know. There were variables in round one for me where I'm going, I haven't seen this club play Capitals hockey, quote-unquote. They played their games in, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, if you can stretch it out even longer, going back to the Four Nations break. And that was answered when right away they came out flying and smacking everything that moved. And it wasn't an energy question. It was, you know, everything else. It was just regular hockey again. How these two teams handled this weird, unusual circumstance to have been off for a week when you're not off for a week is going to be telltale to how this beginning part of the series
goes. The Hurricanes advanced last Tuesday, and the Caps moved forward into round two on Wednesday. And then neither team really knew when game one was going to be played even until Saturday. So it isn't just that you had all this time before the game. But more important than that, maybe, Danny, is you didn't know when you were going to be playing. So it reminds me of like the pandemic, right? When you're just in your house in perpetuity and you don't know when you're leaving again. You're not shaving. You're not making healthy decisions, right? You're not living your best life because you're like, no one sees me. I can wear whatever I want. And then something pops up where you got to be somewhere and you're not ready. Your suit's not ready to go and hanging in the closet. You haven't shaved or gotten the haircut. So you had to act as if you're both of these teams, without anyone telling you when the game was going to be, that at any moment you could play. And you're right. It's a sport about humans. So maybe one of the two teams handled that better than the other. I like that for Alexi Protas, he got a little more time here to practice, get his sea legs under him. I think that will benefit Washington. But on the other side, Carolina's goalie, Frederik Andersen, was hurt at the end of the last series. And it's very possible he would have played in game one regardless, but it's almost a certainty now he's in pretty good shape going into this series. So you could make the case that the earlier the thing would have started, maybe the more beneficial just from that standpoint, because Andersen is excellent and is coming off of a first round where he had the best save percentage and goals against in the National Hockey League in round one of any goaltender.
Again, there's so many variables to this thing. You just don't know, right? You don't know how a team is going to respond to it. On paper, you could do everything you want to do. But think of the Nationals so many times, right? We're like, they clinched the division September 1st and are just waiting. Right, then they have to wait an extra couple of days while the wild card teams battle each other. Are they sharp or are they not? Did they not hit because they weren't sharp? Did they not hit because Clayton Kershaw is really good? You just never know. So to me, I'm going to be fascinated to see how they come out and kind of start this thing tonight. If Carolina has momentum, I don't think anything carried over from the previous series because, again, they've been off for so long. But if Carolina's feeling themselves a little bit, where they're skating with that burst and the pucks are deep and the Caps, it just constantly feels like you're turning around and fetching it from behind your goal, and you let Carolina impose their will, you know, just sort of peppering you, poking and prodding. It's like that soft jab from a Floyd Mayweather, right, where, you know, it's not necessarily that one punch that's going to knock you out. It's just that constant tap, 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 throwing pucks at the net and, you know, waiting for you to make a mistake. The Caps have to play boring to me. You got to combine energy and zeal, and obviously, you know, you're as fired up as you can be. It's the postseason, for goodness sakes. But you got to be clean. You got to fly like Iceman. No mistakes.
I mean, I would say most teams are going to say that, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to make mistakes and win in the playoffs very often. So that's like don't turn the ball over kind of thing in football.
Right, easy to say.
Obviously, you know, in the defensive end especially, you've got to be pretty buttoned up. The Hurricanes, Danny, 36 shots on net per game in the first round is best in the National Hockey League. They dominate puck possession. This year they had 45% of offensive zone time as far as where the puck was at any given moment on the ice in the regular season, which was 99th percentile, best in the NHL. So the advanced metrics and all the numbers, the data is in their favor in the sense of, you know, they're the team that leads in Corsi and owning the puck and getting shots on the cage. I think it was like 60-40 for them in the regular season in terms of shots for and against and the percentages. It's not going to be an easy series. The Caps are underdogs, probably for good reason. But guess what? They're bigger. They are more physical. They have been excellent at home, and the Hurricanes have struggled some on the road. You look at the four games this season between the two teams. The Caps won both of the games here at Capital One Arena where they're playing tonight. The Hurricanes won the two games in their barn. Let's take our first look at the G&D poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long-distance, residential, and commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. I don't think anybody should be surprised that our poll today is going to be asking you about game one as the A topic here in town. The Caps getting ready for this game. Which player on the squad has to be the best for them to get a win in game one? We're keeping the goaltender out of the equation because that one's pretty simple. Logan Thompson's always going to have to shine for them. But go vote right now. Is it Alex Ovechkin, 4 goals in 5 games in round one? Is it Tom Wilson, who found his scoring late in the first round series, but is such a physical, important member of this operation. Connor McMichael, I thought he was their best player.
He was splendid, yeah.
In game five and was really good at times in the series. He had three goals in the first couple of games. And then Jacob Chychrun, who's been active, activating from the blue line and helping them offensively. I'm going to go with Tom Wilson. I just think this is one of those series, Danny, where you're going to have to out-physical Carolina and make them think as they're digging pucks out of the corners or along the wall. I want them looking over their shoulder to figure out where 43 is as often as possible. And like Montreal, yep, maybe three, four games of just hitting everything that moves later, they start making some business decisions. That's kind of the hope when you play a smaller team.
Yeah, my answer is Chychrun. For what you mentioned, but just in reverse, right? I mean, the zone exits, not turning the puck over in the neutral zone, just being solid and maybe even punishing them a couple times for being over-aggressive and, over-skating certain things. Chychrun's so skilled that I'd like those forwards to maybe think twice, as you said, for over-committing here and there. Those tape-to-tape passes, getting out of the zone, starting some rushes the opposite way, I think are going to be paramount in this whole series. So to me, the Capitals defensemen are going to be so tested in this series by the way Carolina plays.
Go vote on our G&D poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. It's right on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account pinned for you right there at the top when you get to the page. And let us know who you think's got to shine tonight for the Capitals. John Walton on the program at 3 live from City Tap House. He'll be right here with us on site. This is where we're pre-gaming ahead of game one of the second round. Hopefully you guys will come by and have a drink and some food and get ready for a puck drop with us. Bruce Boudreau's calling in at 5 o'clock, the former Caps head coach as well. And we've got those Caps tickets at the end of every single hour of the show today. We are giddy to be giving away a pair to Thursday night's game two to our listeners. Next, though, you know the NFL draft's coming to the district. We found that out yesterday officially. Other than that event, what else do you want in this city? Now that we're starting to think about big picture events, when you get a stadium, the World Cup, the Super Bowl, the Final Four is all in play, what's the thing you would most want to attend in our home city here in D.C.? That's next on The Fan.
And we've already seen a reawakening of that spirit, but we want to bring it back. Now we want to bring the Commanders home with a new RFK that our fans will love, our opponents will fear. It'll be loud. We want to make it about football, but also about the city and the community. And we want to host the biggest and best events in the world.
Back live on Grant and Danny from City Tap House, where we will be ahead of games one tonight and two on Thursday for your pre-gaming fun ahead of the Caps and the Canes. Just a few blocks away, we're in the shadows of the arena here in the Penn Quarter neighborhood. The NFL draft is coming to the nation's capital in D.C. in 2027, two springs from now, next year in Pittsburgh, and then they're coming to the National Mall. Wanted to open up the listener lines on this, Danny. I was actually talking about this with the wife today, and I thought this would be fun. We got the draft. We've talked for years, you and I, on this show about how cool that would be. It seemed inevitable, and it is now happening. Once they get an NFL stadium in D.C., everything else is on the table, whether that is the World Cup, which inexplicably D.C. was left out of, the Olympics maybe becomes more of an opportunity. I know they're in L.A. now, so it might be a while.
Right.
But you didn't have the infrastructure, the stadiums, even the ability to do that. You're closer to that now. You might still need to build and spend a bunch of money to get there. But the Final Four, other massive generational, once every 20-plus years in a city events. So I ask you, draft aside, what is the thing you would most want to attend coming to D.C. if you could have one of those Hallmark sporting events. 800-636-1067 is the number.
There are a million different answers here, and all of them are good, right? Because it's all cool stuff. It's all good showcases for your city, or in some cases your country, the region, whatever you want to call it. So of things that, you know, kind of normally on the menu, you're probably thinking of them right now, 800-636-1067. The one that would probably mean the most to me, or would be most exciting for me because of my kids' interest and burgeoning interest in things, is a World Cup. So it wouldn't be my first thing. I would go. I'd be able to say, how cool is that? I'm watching a couple of teams at the highest level play something that, you know, the whole world is watching, that they take super seriously. But because of the fandom of my kids and the thing that they play, and, you know, my oldest is a big soccer guy, and I think that would be one of those impossible to replicate moments, or you know, items to have the World Cup here in our backyard. That would be something I think that he would, you know, kind of go nuts over
it. So that's like hyper specific, which I totally get, because I think the same way through the lens of family and kids or whatever. If your kids weren't soccer fans, or your little guy wasn't wearing a Messi jersey, mm-hmm. or whatever, a kit, whatever they call it in soccer, would you still have World Cup number one?
I actually am
not a big soccer guy, and my kids don't care about soccer at all, but I would be thrilled to have the World Cup come to DC.
Well, I just think I'll tell you,
one
this,
of those events.
It would be on my list. I don't know if it would make number one, but it would vie for it. Because I just, the one of those random occurrences, some very dear friends of ours, my buddy and his wife, they got married in Paris. She was born and raised in Paris, moved to the U.S. when she was 13. And we went over there, and, you know, we were there for all these events and the heart of Paris and blah, blah, just this once-in-a-lifetime thing. It just so happened it was the middle of the World Cup. And it was the year that France wasn't supposed to be that great, but ended up in the World Cup final. I have never experienced anything like that, and nothing's come close. Imagine the college town when you win the big game, except it's a country. There were a million people on a street like M Street in the Paris's version of Champs-Élysées, right? Like, imagine walking up and down M Street, and there's a million people, and everybody's just just overjoyed, and people are, you know, sharing champagne with you, and it's a party unlike anything you've ever seen. That level of enthusiasm kind of has, you know, it's still in the back of my brain. So yeah, it'd be on my list.
I just think the international appeal, the melding of cultures, people, we talk about the NFL draft is going to be people from all 50 states and all 32 fan bases. And there is something really cool about that.
Yeah, that's neat.
I love the MLB All-Star festivities every year. I've gone for about a dozen straight years to whatever city it was in and broadcasted and been a part of that. But I think it's great when you just get a little flair and have a conversation with each person about their team. That's really cool. The World Cup is that, but globally.
Yeah.
Nations, countries, you know, cultures. I find that really, really cool. I thought about that as kind of my number one, honestly. And then I thought, can I say that? Do I care enough about soccer? I can tell you this. I would consider going to Philadelphia or Baltimore or making a trip for the U.S. men's national team in a game.
Yeah.
I just think it would be that cool. But I'm not going to side with the World Cup in D.C. But the question is, the draft's coming. What do you want to see here? What would be the most meaningful thing to you? 800-636-1067. I guess what I ultimately settled on is a little boring, and it's the Super Bowl. And it's the Super Bowl because not of the game, which, take it or leave it, most of the time when you and I make the trek down to Radio Row and we're there for the week, we're long gone by the time the game kicks off anyway. It's just the amount of, Jason Wright word here, activations.
Activations.
It's the week-long activities and parties and endeavors, and they would just mean so much more in our home. Now, we were just in New Orleans for a Super Bowl week, and we were hanging out and having fun with our buddy Christian, and he was throwing one party after another at his place. All the restaurants you know, all the people you know in town are having different events. We got a very small glimpse of this and taste of this, I thought, for the MLB All-Star game when it came to Nats Park. But I just think the Super Bowl in D.C., first time in my lifetime, in a new stadium, no less. Come on. There's nothing better than that. I side with the sport I care the most about, I suppose.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, again, there are plenty of nominees, but a Super Bowl would be tremendous. Because you're right, the game itself, let's be real here, it's not that easy to go, right? Those are the most expensive tickets you can possibly find. If you're a local, it may not be that something that's that exciting to you when your team's not in it. Like, fans of a certain team where you're going, I'm making the trip because my team's in the Super Bowl. You know, the Vikings fan that's here because they finally got back there for the first time in however long.
What percentage of the fans at those games, I'm sure this is out there, but I wouldn't even know where to start, are actual fans of the team that are there to watch football?
It's a fraction.
Is it a half of the people between the two fan bases or more?
In between 40 and 60% any given year. I mean, I think the people in there are, you know, like, this corporate sponsor spent X number of tens of thousands of dollars on a block of seats, and they're getting to go. And then, you know, this one guy that's like, I've never missed a Super Bowl, and like, that's his thing. So, you know, it's a hodgepodge. So it's not like a true conference title game or, you know, home field advantage type environment.
What do you think a Final Four?
That's my next answer.
If we held it at the new NFL stadium in the city, would look like? Everybody claims and talks about DC as such an amazing basketball town. I'll take your guys' word for it. I haven't really seen it. Although I will say, I was watching the Netflix documentary today, Shooting Guards.
Oh, it's so
and
good.
It's Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden and the Guns in the Locker Room saga of 2008, which many of us remember like it was yesterday. It took me back to the apex of my Wizards fandom. You know, for much of my childhood, I joke about this now, that was my favorite team of the bunch. I was writing players' names on my papers at school, and I would get off the bus like everybody else and go wear out the grass in my backyard. It became a little dirt court for my basketball hoop that my dad put up when I was a little kid. Loved the Wiz. And Gilbert, at his peak, Hibachi, Agent Zero, he ran the town. I mean, he was on the level right now of like an OV or a Daniels maybe.
Couldn't have been more fun.
But the Final Four in D.C. has my interest based on just seeing like the ACC tournament and some of these places that have come to Cap One Arena, because you get the same feel of it's a conference that takes over. It's a bunch of programs, people wearing their gear. I think that could be really
good. Yeah, like there's the UNC hotel block where every UNC fan's wearing that Carolina blue and they stream out of, you know, some hotel and they're walking down and you know, going to Hill Country for lunch or whatever. Yeah, that's pretty electric. A Final Four certainly would be. One of my dear friends went to UVA and sort of stopped what he was doing when UVA was in the national championship going to the Final Four and made the trip and just swears by it, said it was the coolest thing ever. Now, it's his school there in the Final Four, but just in addition to that, it was awesome. I mean, I could tell you that going to the College World Series, when I had no rooting interest, no reason to be there other than it was a bucket list sports item thing that I wanted to do, was incredible. Now, you know, multiply that times the interest and intrigue of college basketball, you know, where it's still, you know, it's a little bit more regional and, you know, fandom isn't, you know, as ubiquitous as it is for, say, the NFL or even maybe college football, but it's still a pretty big deal, right? That tournament, the betting, everybody's got a bracket, so everybody's kind of adopted a team kind of along the way for rooting interest. That's a pretty huge one, and those are really, really fun. I would love to do that.
Let's go to the phones. Wade's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. We're live at City Tap House near Capital One Arena ahead of Game 1, Caps Canes tonight. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm good, man. Thank you for taking my call.
Got it.
You bet.
Hey, I was going to say the Super Bowl party, man. That would be ecstatic. I want to go. I got. You remember what Joe Gibbs said? There's no other place I'd rather be than right here. Man, that would be a moment to relive, for real.
Appreciate you. Yeah, the old Marv Levy line, too. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? I mean, you're going to have a good time the week of the Super Bowl because you're going to get into some events, whether they're the big parties with the awesome performers. But I think people sleep on the amount of celebrities, dignitaries, athletes in other sports, movie stars.
All of it.
Actresses. Everybody descends upon your town, and it's not just for 24 hours. I mean, it's the better part of an entire week. It's like 5 days.
To borrow the Jason Wright word, like FanDuel's got an activation. So they rent it out. Rasika, one of my favorite restaurants, for a night. So they're having a party with Charles Barkley there. Then the next night, somewhere else at a different spot that you know. There's nothing but stuff, man.
I've actually not thought about this one. This is really good. I wonder if the stadium would be big enough for this. Let's go to Sean in Columbia on Grant and Danny. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how about the Natty? That would be a good one. The College Football National Championship game.
If the stadium, thanks for the call, seats 64,000, 65,000.
Is that big enough? Because they've done it at the Superdome, haven't they? Or maybe
many
they haven't.
Times. I mean, that's big only 100 times.
Yeah, that's
But like, I would think the Superdome seats more than that.
I thought that's about what that was. Maybe I'm nuts. But that's special. That's like its own deal.
Superdome looks like it's about 76 and change.
Okay, so that's more. Okay.
They don't call it the medium dome. You know what I mean?
It's no.
Very vertical, that Superdome. But I don't know. If you could do 75, why can't you do 67? I would think you could probably make that work.
Fine by me.
But you also have to do it smaller. In the same way the mayor is going to tell the Commanders, and I'm sure did, you don't get money. You don't get one penny if there's not a roof on that stadium. Because I can't even convince the council we're going to have enough events with a roof. I certainly can't do it without one. Make my job harder. Help me help you. It's got to have a roof. Costs a lot more money. I think you would also say something similar as it pertains to the size of the stadium. If the bigger you go, the more the diminishing return at this point in terms of just butts in seats, visiting people able to get their hands on tickets.
Yeah, A, the trend of stadiums in general. B, the comfort of not going to the stadium. Then you add in, as you said, the nights that you can actually use it. It increases dramatically when you dome it.
The NFL draft's coming to the city. We know that. That'll be in 2027. What other major sporting event would you love to attend in the nation's capital? That is the question at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. We're giving away our first pair of Caps tickets on the show today at the end of the hour, coming up in about 15 minutes. You got to make sure you're listening for the cue to call. John Walton, voice of the Caps, who's going to be on the call tonight here on The Fan, stopping by our setup at City Tap House in 20 minutes, live on G&D. You got a chance to win Caps tickets on Grant and Danny coming up in about 7 minutes right here on The Fan. John Walton joins us in less than 15. We'll get his preview of game one for the Caps and the Canes. The show today brought to you by our friends, Condori and Murad, a law firm that's going to take care of setting up a last will and testament, a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney for you. Any of your needs can be met by them at kmlawyers.com. Mention us and get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Nats playing a doubleheader today. You're headed over to Nats Park for game two of that doubleheader. And it's one of those rare, you buy one ticket, you sit in the ballpark for two.
I love it. It is old school. Like Ma and Pa used to do, or, you know, you did in Legion ball back in the 90s, man. You got rained out one day, you play two the next day.
Is there a reason they've stopped doing that in the sport other than money? Just because?
I don't think so.
Okay. So why are they doing it today?
That I couldn't answer you. I don't know the answer to that. Because this has happened before, and I'm not just ripping the Nationals here. This is baseball wide. This is the sport wide. But what typically happens is you get rained out. You go, okay, the next first game tomorrow is at noon. Second game is, 6:40 or your normal start time, knowing that you'd have two separate gates. For whatever reason, they decided not to do that this time. I'm not saying it's altruistic. I'm not saying they were thinking of the fans when they did it. I'm not criticizing either. Simply saying it happened the way I'd love it to happen more often. It is a treat. It's really cool.
Yesterday on the show, we had Eric Edholm on from NFL.com and NFL Network. He was responsible for listing all 32 teams in a power rankings coming out of the draft for NFL media, and he had Washington sixth. And you and I initially said that's pretty high, but then we went through the list and we said, well, I guess it makes sense because I wouldn't necessarily move 7, 8, 9 ahead of them. Mm-hmm. They're not definitively better. ESPN.com dropped their own power rankings last night via NFL Nation, so they had every reporter involved kind of league-wide. They also had the Commanders sixth.
Right there.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you about where they should be, I don't know what's going to. It's authentic. It's a real thing, man. Are they as good as the Lions or the Eagles, who they, played tight with in the regular season and in Detroit's case eliminated in the playoffs in the NFC? Maybe not. Are they Kansas City or Buffalo? No, those teams should be ahead of them. You can put the Ravens ahead of them. But unless you're willing to say definitively that the Packers or the Vikings or the Bengals, these other top 10 teams are better than Washington, then six is about right. And they went through every single team, Danny, and they listed where they've improved the most. For Washington, they said offensive line.
Well, yeah. You draft one in the first round. You trade for one in Laremy Tunsil, a first rounder in his own right, who's got a pretty good track record. You take your starting left tackle from last year, and make him probably one of your guard spots, a rotational tackle piece. Who knows how that's going to shake out? Yeah, your offensive line got a lot better. The thing that you and I going into the season last year going, are we sure about this? This was not a strength of the team the year before. You got a rookie quarterback here. Have they done enough? Have they done enough? And, you know, I guess their evaluation this offseason was whether we did or didn't, we're going to do a lot more.
They got better on the O-line, yep. No doubt. John Kime wrote this up for Nation and said they traded for 5-time Pro Bowler Laremy Tunsil, drafted tackle Josh Connerly in the first round. The moves allow for some flexibility as well. Obviously, they kick Brandon Coleman inside. If Andrew Wiley's here, maybe he starts on the inside. Helps protect for life without Sam Cosmi for the first month of the season. So there's no doubt the O-line's a lot better.
Yep.
I think they're better at corner, too, because they signed a veteran who might start in Jonathan Jones. But on top of that, they also just drafted a corner in the top 75 who's a really good player and might start right away. Sanra still gets to move into the nickel where he traditionally is more comfortable and where they wanted him to play when they drafted him anyway. But there are plenty of areas where I don't think they're as good. I think they're worse on the defensive line after losing Allen and Fowler. I think they're worse. You could make the case maybe in the linebacking core. And my logic on this is Bobby Wagner's a year older.
That's the case to me, right?
Well, here's the other one. I think you're going to have to move Luvu to more of an edge role on passing downs to just get pass rush because you didn't address the position. So Luvu, who's your best pass rusher, might actually have to come downhill and stand up, you know, in like more of a Fowler role on third and long, second and long, stuff like that, which means maybe you're pulling from your depth to fill out your linebacking role. I think they're worse at safety after losing Jeremy Chin, who was a good player. They're more probably a lot better at kicker, where they just went and signed a record contract on a one-year deal for a kicker and guaranteed money with Matt Gay. But I don't know. Overall, I would say it's kind of a wash, and they need Jaden Daniels to put the cape on again. Because the roster,
yeah.
And this is just going to be the case, it's not Adam Peters' fault. It's nobody in the building currently's fault. It was so barren from the previous regime that they're in this one-year deal mode each of the last two off seasons. If you hit a high enough batting average on the one-year deals, around Jaden Daniels can be pretty good. But really, it's about him just elevating everybody else.
Yeah, I think they're better at receiver, not where I want, but it's a better group, right, than it was at this point last year. Remember, they added Noah Brown training style. Are they
Because of what? So that's Debo. That's Debo. Lane.
Another year of Luke McCaffrey, counting on some internal improvement there. You know, whether Lane has a role or not, I don't know. But, you know, a lot of these guys have another year in the system and aren't, you know, 6 years old. See Bobby Wagner. I don't think they're better at running back unless, you know, they struck gold in Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. But, you know, it's another year of wear and tear for a guy that's off injured in Eckler, and Brian Robinson isn't getting any faster.
Well, then are they worse at running back? Because Robinson is another year full of carries and physical contact on his body. Eckler, aging, I still really like how he plays.
Oh, me too. I'm a fan, yeah.
But I mean, the mileage is adding up on those guys.
Yep.
McNichols, take him or leave him, whatever. I mean, you said it. If Merritt helps them this year, you can make the case they're better. If he's just on the P squad as a seventh-round pick, like fighting for a job, then at best, it's just neutral.
Yeah, if it's 1 week Chris Rodriguez, the next week McNichols, then Michael Wiley we see, and then maybe we see the kid once in October, then no, you didn't improve that spot, and maybe they don't think they needed it.
First time of four today, we're giving away Caps tickets right now. At the end of every hour, you're waiting for the cue to call, and this is the cue. Dial at 800-636-1067. Congrats. Somebody's winning a pair of tickets. It's round two, home game number two. This is to Thursday night's game. Two nights away at Capital One Arena, May 8th against the Canes. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com. With Danny, I'm Grant. We will be joined by John Walton, the voice of the Caps, here on The Fan. He'll be on the call of Game 1 tonight. We're live at City Tap House. He's going to be joining us on site. If you're coming to the game, we're just a few blocks from the arena. So pregame with us. Have a drink, get your dinner, and then go over wearing your red. Be as loud as you can as the Caps try to get Game 1 for the fourth time in as many tries at home, dating back to their cup run. You're listening to The Fan.